With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and you're very welcome to Rugby Tonight. I'm Craig Doyle.
Hello, Craig.
Ah, nice to see you. This is our final episode of the season, but hold back the tears for the next 40 minutes or so as myself and Benny Kay discuss the big week for England and Harlequins, Barbarians memories, and who is the best place to dominate the Premiership for the next year's few years. Obviously, yes. We'll also be hearing from the new man at the Stoop, Paul Gustard.
At the way.
Stoop. And Billy Twelvetrees as Saracens.
It's Craig Dutch.
He is
at the Stoop.
He is at the Stoop. Will he also be hearing? I can't carry it on. Craig had to go. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to carry on for him, Ben.
Do you want to do the door closing noise?
Closed. And we're also going to look at the Premiership crown and who's going to take it at Twickenham this Saturday. But first,
some news. Gustard will join Harlequins after England's tour of South Africa. Here he is explaining his decision to leave Eddie Jones' setup just 18 months before the World Cup.
Well, it's massive. You know, you don't walk away from something like that lightly. I've invested 2.5 years of my life. I left a pretty decent club in Saracens to join the RFU. And I did that because I wanted to win a World Cup with England. And, you know, for 2.5 years, we've done pretty well, you know. And I've learned a lot from Eddie. He's been fantastic to me personally. He's been fantastic for English rugby. You know, twice I owe debt of gratitude to Eddie Jones. In 2008, he recruited me as a coach or retired me as a player, whichever way you like to look at it. And then again, 2016, he came to Saracens and took me for the role with England. And it's been a privilege to represent my country over the last 2.5 years. But as I've said before, like, this is a huge opportunity to do something different for my life, and I'm really looking forward to it.
And he'll be the head of rugby, which I don't know what that means. It's got a big head, but I don't know if that's...
Well, I think he's looking after all the... Well, I guess all the on-field stuff. Yes. And then the other appointment they're looking for is a general manager who... Yeah.
He'll manage contracts and recruitment. Yeah. Ben Ryan is in the frame for the general manager. Well, that'd be quite
maybe
good,
looking
actually
after the medical side and the fitness side as well.
I think that'd be quite a nice combination, Ben Ryan and Guzzi. It's a big old job for him, though, isn't it? First time as the head of something.
It is.
It's good to see one of the Premiership clubs making that step.
I totally agree. And a lot of bad press over it that he's leaving Eddie Jones's setup. What do you make of that?
I think he's bored of the 5 o'clock in the morning email saying, why aren't you up doing some work, Guzzi? Because I've got a family and I'm in bed, Eddie. Potentially.
See, a lot of the journalists are sort of saying, oh, it must be terrible. And he has had a high turnover of staff, not necessarily coaches, but the sort of backup staff, the analysts, the media guys. He has had a turnover in his setup, probably because of that. But I think Paul Gustard's made this decision. He's a tough character, Guzzi, isn't he? We know him very well. I don't think that would have necessarily bothered him. I think he's made the decision because here we are all bemoaning the fact that there aren't enough young English Premiership DORs or head coaches that are given a go. And had he waited until after the World Cup, I don't think, you know, who's to say that any jobs would be available?
Well, we're only speculating anyway. We don't know if Eddie had phoned him up and go, advise you, mate, I've got to look for a job. Because defence hasn't been that great for England over the Six Nations. You know what Eddie's like.
But I think it's a great move for him. I think the move wouldn't have necessarily been there after the World Cup. And he could have gone through his whole career being a defence coach who had ambitions when he was younger to be a director of rugby, but never quite got the shot at it. So I think he's doing the right thing. It leaves Eddie Jones in the lurch a little bit, but he can look around.
I'm free.
One day he could be in Eddie Jones's position because he took that job and left the England World Cup setup.
Do you think he should go to South Africa on the tour, or do you think he probably wants to get going, doesn't he, with Quins? Knowing Guzzi like we do, he's very Neurotic.
That's a diuretic.
That's a skinning. that's a thinning version of somebody who's nervous about thinning. He's neurotic.
Look, he's a good bloke. He won't want to leave anyone in the lurch. There's a bit of a handover process, but equally, from a selfish Harlequin's point of view, it will allow him to speak to some of the senior players and just sort of get a feel for their views on where the club needs to change. I know all focus should be on England, but I don't think it's the end of the world him going for Harlequins.
The interesting appointment I'm looking forward to is, will his dad be a spy for Harlequins like he was for Leicester Tigers in the early 2000s?
Allegedly.
Prove it.
He'll certainly have made a load of T-shirts for the Harlequins players.
Yeah. He certainly will. Replacement for him, people saying Alex Sanderson. I think that would be a good one. Brad Davis, not so sure. I don't think Sean Edwards would work.
What about slightly away from the usual?
Like a left field.
What about someone who's maybe a bit more attack orientated? The name I thought of was Paul Grayson. Great rugby brain, different style of coach, I'd imagine. And I just wondered whether, having spoken to him on numerous occasions, his reading of the game is brilliant, whether that might be a different type of candidate to go for.
Yeah, and he's just got planning for an extension on his house. Excellent. So he needs the money. Job. He needs the job.
Sam Vesti, but he's already involved with Northampton. So I just wondered whether he might look, another English guy.
I think if Guzzi has got any sense, he might look for an older head, someone who's dealt with a few issues with other teams, someone who can maybe slow him down a little bit, because he'll go into that job all guns blazing.
I was meaning to replace
Guzzi
with England. Yeah, so not going as specialist defence coach.
Right, okay. It's good that we're on the same wavelength. It's going to bode well for a good podcast. But
what are you talking about?
Moving, I don't know. Anyway, the Champions League final this weekend.
Excellent. Come on, Liverpool.
Yeah, as an Evertonian, I will actually be supporting Liverpool this weekend.
Really?
It's a good segue into a piece of bad news, actually, talking about Liverpool. Jack Willis out for 9 to 12 months with an ACL and a bit more, I think, in that that knee of his. It does start the question about these artificial surfaces. I really shouldn't talk about artificial surfaces.
No. How is yours? Is it still holding up?
It's fine. All that's happened is that the length of my neck's got longer and my head seems to have rotated slightly backwards.
And you managed to backcomb some of the hair off your back.
Yeah, all it's doing is receding inside my head and coming out my nose and ears.
So, I'm glad we dealt with this really sad topic so sympathetically.
You brought up the alleged transfers.
No, I didn't. It is terrible news for him. He, without a doubt, has been one of my players of the year, if not my player of the year. Big future if he can get himself back fit. I've always heard a little bit when people sort of go on about pitches and things, I've always heard a bit on the, let's see the evidence first. But having watched that injury, without a doubt, his front studs catch in the turf before Owen hits him in the knee. It's different to a Matt Tamura injury that was on grass where he's actually deliberately stopped his foot to try and break, and his knee's not been able to cope with the forces. And to me, that specific injury was caused in part by a lack of give in the surface.
I think it's too difficult to do the research because there's like a million different ways you can tear your ACL on grass and on fake surfaces.
There's a lot of players that say
I would
they don't
just
like
say
it.
That it your probability of getting injured on that surface is slightly higher than
it is
on grass.
I think the report said statistically, which is different, as you said, to the different styles, statistically, it's the same incidence of injuries but more serious injuries on the artificial surface. That was the England Rugby report.
But we saw lots of injuries from the pitch in Bilbao because it was just too old. Yeah. And it was too hard.
So one of the things I've said before, actually, is that maybe Premiership Rugby should get together and part of the central funding should go into making sure that all the pitches are the same surface.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
And they're all maintained by potentially by a central body that go around and check them.
A groundsman, I would suggest. Yeah.
But no, potentially you have like a head of pitches, if you like, that goes around, checks them all, makes sure they're the same. Because one of the things that the medics say is, and even in terms of players' training, is swapping from one surface to another. If you go from a boggy pitch to a deso or partial artificial pitch, even on the same training ground in one session, your incidence of injury likelihood goes up. So maybe that is something that we should consider.
Talking about considering different things, Danny Cipriani is likely to play at 15 against the Barbars at Twickenham. On Sunday. Nathan Hughes to make his comeback in this game as well. What do you make to Danny at 15? I'm sort of... find it a bit surprising.
I think
it's a bad message for Mike Brown, isn't it?
A little bit, but I think,
or a good message. You Eddie, look at it.
Eddie from sort of way back when he first came in said that one of the areas that he has a slight problem with is that wider channel, whether it's 13 or 15, he wants a ball player in that position. Now, we thought he might have tried Elliot Daly in the 13 position. Henry Slade's been playing there for the Chiefs. But I think having seen the reason Cipriani is possibly at 15, having seen what Willie LaRue has done for Wasps and having that guy that can make a decision when that wing is flying off his wing to try and, not intercept, but hit man and ball to the 15, that is a major threat in world rugby at the moment. And I think that's why he's put him out there. And he probably thinks that he's the best person to do that. I don't think, you know, he hasn't obviously had much game time there of late.
Well, if you were captain of the Barbars and I was the fly half, what would you be suggesting?
Let's
that
go on
I
the
do?
Smash.
Hey, OK, when we get back in just before the game on the Saturday morning, what would you be advising or preferring that I would do as a fly half in that game? Bomb it, Danny, for the first three times?
Yeah.
And then the forwards would fill him in, basically.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what's going to happen, isn't it?
But maybe
the Barbars
aren't
supposed to kick
it.
Another interesting one, Chris Ashton. He's going to play against England at Twickenham. I'm hearing lots of rumours that he wants to come home.
Yeah, it's a difficult one because it's not a club where you'd feel you had too much control over decisions like that with Murad and his history. If he wants to sit on your contract and make
what?
Your way to sit on your contract and make your way to out, then he's the sort of person that'd do that. But I think, do you reckon if he was back in England, he would be in the England squad now?
I'd have him in the squad, yeah.
But do you reckon Eddie would?
I think probably, yeah.
Yeah, I do.
He's a brilliant finisher. He's head and shoulders above most people as a finisher. And then it would enable you actually to have a back three of Chris Ashton, Elliot Daly at fullback, and then probably Jack Noel on the other wing.
Yeah, that's true.
Or
he hasn't played Elliot Daly
Watson.
At fullback, has he? And that would be one option. But here that he thinks Elliot Daly is by far and away the best winger he's got, so he doesn't want to compromise him.
So Elliot Daly's by far and the best back. That well, actually, no, he's not. Owen Farrell's the best back, but he's in the best two.
Anyway, laminated.
Yeah. Hopefully. Anything else you'd be looking at in this game? You know, are we going to learn anything? Do England benefit the Barbars? I mean, basically, this game's on Sunday. The Barbars have already met now. Let's presume this is Thursday morning, but it's not really.
They won't have trained much.
They won't have trained much unless you consider dancing and
fancy
chatting.
Dress.
Fancy dress, yeah. And maybe the odd team-building outing. The line-out calls will basically be the scrum half will have his hands on his knees, means it's going to two. If he's got his hands on his hips, it's going to four. And if his hands are away from his side, it's going at the back. So they are the line-out calls for the Barbars. I hate to give them away, but they're pretty obvious. Anyway, who's going to win that?
England.
By how many?
20.
Is that all?
Yeah, I think it'd be quite high-scoring.
Okay. Well, England versus the Barbars at Twickenham in 27 degrees, supposed to be on Sunday. Exceptionally hot.
So I think it will be one of those 20-point differences, but the losing side scores 25.
Defence optional, particularly when your defence coach is leaving to be head of rugby at Harlequins. Okay. Well, let's look back at the semi-finals. I was at the Saracens game against Wasps. They won 57-33. They're certainly peaking at the right time. It's the, I think it's the sixth consecutive game over 50 points scored.
Any worries if you're the Saracens coaching staff from that particular game?
No, I don't think so. I think that they were absolutely brilliant for 30 minutes. Mm. And you get that sort of lead and you put that amount of effort in, you have to readjust and your energy levels naturally take a rebalancing. Wasps took some opportunities. They didn't get some others. And they got back into the game. But what was the closest they came? 10 points, I think, maybe was the closest they came. And Saracens were always in control. They always had the ability to go up a gear.
Front five and back looked immense.
Yeah, Makov and Apola, incredible. And Owen Farrell.
Yeah, and Ezekwe at six as well. Thought he played really well.
The problem was, you know, with his new haircut, when you're commentating, I thought, Jesus, how quick is Skolt Berger? He's really accelerating now. He's like 52 years old and he's running like a gazelle.
And then he's grown.
He's taller. Anyway, so I struggled with it. I thought, my God, who is that player? How good is Berger now? Anyway, that was an individual problem that I had at the weekend.
I was at the other semi-final and Exeter didn't need to get out of second gear. I think the stats at half-time were 92% possession to Exeter. I think 9 of Exeter's players had carried more than the entire Falcons team put together. There were only about 6 tackles that Exeter had to make, and Sinoti had no involvement in the first half at all. So if you're Rob Baxter, are you a bit worried that you're undercooked?
No, I don't think so. I think that you can only beat who's in front of you. And Newcastle, not surprisingly, ran out of steam from an amazing season that they've had. Another talking point from our game was James Haskell wasn't there. He was at the royal wedding.
Yeah,
I'm sure you've seen lots of pictures of him in his three-piece.
Yeah.
You and Lol
had a bit of a saying it's the wrong thing. And then Dai Young came out and said that, look, it was with my blessing. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The only thing that, having read, because you go on Twitter and you read sort of comments about it and everything, the only thing that someone had put, which was quite a good point, saying, I don't think it's the sort of thing that you can reply to on Thursday and say, actually, I am free now. I'm injured. Can I come? Surely you have to let them know a few weeks in advance that you're turning up to the royal wedding. That was the only thing that someone put. I thought, that's a good point. Because actually, up until then, I was on his side and thought, well, if you've got the coach's blessing, then
I don't think even with the coach's blessing, if it's the last game for a club you've been at for your entire career, whether you're involved or not, and they've got a chance of going through, you'd want to be there.
Yeah.
More from the fact that you're showing commitment to the group, and if you win, you want to play in the final.
A lot of people saying you're jealous, though, on Twitter.
No, not at all.
Will Greenwood was there, wasn't he?
Will was there. Yeah. Yeah, he was looking splendid. Yeah. You know, good luck to them. I thought it looked like a great day out. I didn't... Yeah. Whatever, it's, you know, if people get invited, great.
Yeah. What do you think of Spooks, the programme?
Why? Well, how's that relevant?
I don't know. What's she in?
Oh, Suits.
Suits.
Yeah.
Spooks.
I used to like Spooks. I've never seen Suits. I look forward to meeting them at some stage, you know, when I'm around having dinner with Tins, with his new nose. He looks a bit weird, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I know he's had it fixed. I mean, that was a hell of a job. They must have had 5 or 6 surgeons in there with a couple of crowbars.
He just looks totally different, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Totally different.
He looks uglier. Yeah. Does that not make sense? Or is it just he's taking some time to get used to?
I don't know. I think he looks very smart. I'm sure the Queen approves. Should we get back onto rugby?
Yeah, I thought we were. Mike Tindall used to play rugby. And he broke his nose playing rugby. Obviously, the Exeter Chiefs versus the Saracens. Well, that's live on BT Sport, the final, the end of the season. That's on BT Sport 1 and 4K UHD from 2 p.m. and the kickoff's at 3 p.m. One man, though, who didn't make the field on Saturday was Billy Vunipola. Martin Bayfield, he travelled down to meet with Billy earlier on this week and find out how the Saracens are preparing to take on the champions Exeter in the final.
Well, you're in the final and a dismantling of Wasps. But actually, when you look at the figures, you scored 6 tries, they scored 5. And it's Owen Farrell having a remarkable game that makes it look more comfortable than that. Letting in 5 tries, has that got the alarm bells ringing when you look at Exeter Chiefs as your opponents at the weekend?
Yeah, most definitely, because we know the stats-wise, they've got the most carries, most dominant collisions. And for us, it's not simple, but it kind of tells us where we need to improve. Obviously, it's a final, but for us, it's a game where we need to impose ourselves early, like we did against Wasps, and try not to let up, because there always will be a let up, and everyone says, oh, yeah, we'll try and hold it for 80 minutes, but I think it's impossible unless you're a robot, I'd say. It's tough, because mentally, things go through your head again. What I said earlier, you think you're the man or something, and then they score, and then as soon as that happens, you go back to what you were doing right from the start. So for us, it's always trying to be relentless. There are times where there might be a lull, or there will be a lull, and we need to support each other and get through those periods, because we know they'll come with Exeter, but it's about playing our game and being physical with it.
Two big wins then in the semis, which they're often like that, aren't they? We've had 1 or 2 tight, but you often see sides running away with it, usually the home side. Interestingly, third place has never won the Premiership and has only ever won 2 semi-finals in the, 16 years of history now. So that's a bit, don't finish third.
Don't finish
memo
third.
To everyone for next season. Do you think that last season's final will help Exeter more than Saracens?
Yes, but I think... let me change my answer.
So no, then.
No. It will help Exeter that they have been to a final and won, and they don't have that pressure on them. But equally, Saracens will be able to say, well, you didn't play us in the final, and we are a team that have much more experience than you in a final. And I think, you know, I think Saracens probably are slight favourites because of that, even though Exeter have been the best team all year in the Premiership. And it's really difficult. We've been in that situation where we've won the league and then, you know, Wasps or someone have come along and beaten us in the final. Mm. And it sort of, as the game starts to get away from you and it's not going your way, just those sort of nagging doubts of, oh, we've stormed this league and now they're going to do this. And I just think without having beaten Saracens in a final, it's another huge achievement if Exeter win this time. I think Exeter have been the best team in the Premiership, but they're going to have to go some to beat Saracens.
And Billy Vunipola's only 50-50 apparently fitness-wise. Yeah, that hamstring's
that
playing
does
upon
make
him.
A big difference.
That would make a big difference, but they were still... He didn't do an awful lot in that game when he was on.
It's that psychological presence.
Well, I think
of
it
him,
is, yeah. The guy that did, though, and is involved in a big battle this weekend, is Farrell versus Simmons. Farrell has taken his kicking game to the next level. His restarts were insane how good they were. The only person, and I hope he doesn't listen to this, who was as good as these was Andy Goode. Andy Goode used to get like a 6-second hang time. He used to let the ball bounce for a millisecond longer and then kick it underneath. Now, Farrell's found a way of doing it as well. It's a tough skill to master and with accuracy, and he's managed that. The restarts, they turned over, I think, 4 or 5 of the restarts that they had. And
well, so did Exeter, actually. So
I think restarts would be a big part of the game. But his kicking out of hand was excellent, and off the tee didn't miss. So that battle with Simmons is going to have to perform to that sort of standard. Do you think he can do that?
Yeah, I was hugely impressed with him. And sort of, if he doesn't have a good game, people will say, oh, it's because he's young and inexperienced rather than just he's had an off day. But I really rated him in the... I know it was an armchair ride for him, but... He just, that sharp decision making, I thought he looked really, really good. And his eye for the line and to make a break is as good as anyone in the Premiership.
But Exeter's pack have battered every pack that they've placed this year.
So he is in that armchair, isn't he?
Yeah, so let's see what happens when Sarri's play. We'll get a true notion of how good he actually is, because it should be relatively easy between those, relatively equal between those two packs. Predictions then, who are you going for?
It's as tight a final to call as I've ever known, but I, for the reasons I said before, I'm going to go for Saracens, just smarting from last year when maybe Europe was more of a priority for them. Without doubt, the Premiership has been the big priority for them this year.
Well, talking of predictions, the Super Brew Fantasy League comes to an end after this game. I'm top of the league. I can't
into
be caught.
Count the
that you've had a baby.
Well, the weeks I didn't play.
You did play.
No,
you had a baby.
No, you haven't.
So I've won out of all the pundits and commentators.
And your prize is you get nominated and put forward as BT's representative to play against the whole of the public again next year, and we don't have to bother.
I like the way you've pushed it aside, even though I beat you into a pulp. And I think Saracens are going to win as well. And I think they might actually win by quite a few points in the final. And then that's another reason for the Exeter Chiefs to get stuck into me, because they do not forget anything you say as a commentator, and they hold it against you. They forget all the good stuff that you've said about Exeter over the years, and remember one sentence from 8 years ago, and they all want to kill it. I just said I think Exeter might go straight back down. Oh, what a mistake, because 8 years on, they proved me wrong. Yeah. Anyway, we've been involved in a lot of finals over the years, 9 in a row, actually, Ben. I don't know if I've been counting. But which of these two do you think is best placed to be the dominant force in years to come? Just both of them? Are we turning into a Real Madrid-Barcelona scenario?
I think other teams will have a say. I think Wasps, I'm not sure Wasps will be quite as good next year, but I still think that they, just only because they've got new people coming in, the likes of Cipriani going, and it just might unsettle them a bit next year. It might make them world beaters, but I think the year after potentially will be the Wasps' year. But I think Exeter will keep... So almost if Exeter lose this now, it will spur them on again to go again. I don't think they're a team that, if they lose a final, they'll drop off, and, yeah, and one is enough for them. So, yes, they will be right up at the top. You can see them being top four for a considerable amount of time. But let's see what Gloucester do next year. Much better season this year. Danny Cipriani coming in. They will have had time to get used to Ackerman's free-flowing style of play. A 10 or, you know, maybe a 15, but I'd imagine a 10 that can direct that style of play. You'd think that Ackerman and Cipriani would be a good match tactically. So, why couldn't Gloucester be up there next year?
And it's the last ever Aviva Premiership final. Big thanks to Aviva. They've supported the English League for a number of years. I was their ambassador until they sacked me, replaced me with Will Greenwood for doing that. Yeah, nice one.
Austin.
Well done to Will. Congratulations with that.
Told you should have worn trousers.
Hey, I know, but I just like jeans and trainers.
No, it wasn't.
I'm not corporate enough for that sort of stuff. As you can see with what I've got on now. But my final one is, we move into the Gallagher years.
Is this a pitch, is it, to be an ambassador?
And they'll be looking for an ambassador, and I'm very au fait with insurance and brokerage. But do you think it's time for us to take the Aviva Premiership final away from Twickenham and maybe play it in Ibiza?
For personal reasons, yes.
But it's worked for Europe. It was great in Bilbao, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I think it's good that Europe can... I'd like Europe to continue doing that. But I think the Premiership final is...
Well, could we take it to Old Trafford? Give the North something. Could we take it to Elland Road?
So, genuinely, if you take it to Old Trafford, does it actually make it much better for the North, apart from the people that live near Old Trafford?
Yeah,
but like, if you're in Leeds... that much further to go.
Yeah, I mean, 60 miles.
If you get the train down or, I don't know.
Half an hour.
All right. Yeah, okay, let's take it to Elland Road.
Old Trafford would be good, wouldn't it?
Old Trafford would be good, but...
Olympic Stadium?
I don't know, is the answer to that. I think the atmosphere outside the Premiership finals become great. I don't know whether you quite get that with the space around Old Trafford.
Yeah, I just think that Gallagher is a company of the people, for the people, and I think it would... See what I'm doing there, Rodney? Okay, let's move on.
Well, if it's Gallagher's, maybe we should go to the Etihad.
Yes.
Get Oasis to play.
Oh, I like you thinking.
They own Gallagher Insurance, don't they?
Yeah. Okay, so season review time. We both pitched in there to be the ambassadors for next year, and we could do it together.
I'm happy to job share.
I'm happy to job share if you are. Okay, season review quickly then, because we're running out of time. Game of the season for you? Too hard to answer for me. I can't think.
Oh,
both semi-finals were brilliant.
No, the Exeter one wasn't. Newcastle had run out of steam.
Been a lot.
I'll tell you what. I'm not going to give you a best game of the season. I'm going to give you a best finish of the season, and that was Newcastle's win. Although it pains me to say, at Leicester.
I think the best game of the season was Leicester versus Wasps.
Yeah.
For excitement.
Yeah, that was good.
And incident and fingers falling off. I thought that was the best. I enjoyed that game. Moment of the season so far, it's got to be the try Newcastle scored at Welford Road, hasn't it?
Well, it's not Premiership. Does that matter?
Well, it does say Premiership review. Well, I'm reading that out of here.
Just rugby season. Okay. Doddy Weir walking out at Murrayfield was mine.
Yeah, that was pretty cool as well, wasn't it? Breakout star?
Jack Willis.
Jack Willis. I'll go with Jack Willis as well. Although did he win it? Did he win Discovery?
No, I think
Sam Simmons won it, didn't he?
Yeah, I think you might be right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we disagree with the judges on that. Biggest overachiever? Probably you.
Thank you.
I'd say that's quite easy.
Do you think I overachieved?
I think you did. Well, on your previous year's performances, the bar was very low.
The next one's biggest underachiever, which obviously
thank you.
You win. Well,
again, congratulations.
Biggest overachiever.
Oh, that's harsh. You can't really answer that.
No, overachiever's a good thing.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Someone who's done more than
someone
we expected.
Well, overachieving.
Billy 12 trees for me. Yeah, I think he's had his best season in a number of years. In fact, probably in his whole career.
I'm going to say Joe Simmons, who isn't my breakout player of the year. That was Jack Willis. But I think having come in and replaced Steenson halfway through the season, when everyone else has been talking about Marcus Smith, I think, I'm going to give it to Joe Simmons.
And biggest underachiever, I think we'll skip. There'll be a load of players over the summer thinking, wow, I was rubbish this year. I've got to be better next year. Otherwise, I won't be in the team. I won't have a contract.
Nick Mullins.
Yes. I know. I hear what you're saying now.
I had great hopes for him this year, and he hasn't made the Premiership final because he's commentating on the tennis.
Do you think he's struggling with commentating, and do you think it's all getting to him a little bit?
Well, the commentating game's moved on, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. And he started to dress a little bit like the man from Del Monte. You can't wear chinos in February.
Mm.
You can't, can you? It's a well-known fact because you get mud splattered up the back of them if you're in a car park, and they just don't mix with boots.
No.
So, you know, there's a lesson learned there for everyone.
He is geography teacher chic, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, anyway. And then the last one that's down here is overarching themes. Well, my favourite was Dad's Army. Who do you think you are kidding? That one, yeah.
Oh, you just want theme tunes in this?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know what overarching themes means otherwise.
What was the theme tune for Moonlighting? Can you remember?
Some go by day.
Yeah, I used to like that. That's one of my favourites. Okay, well, as you can see, it's been a long old season for a lot of us, and we'd like to thank you for being part of it.
What do you think people are going to do over the summer without having this to listen to?
I think they'll probably just play it on repeat. Yeah. This will be the last one. They'll play it on repeat.
In Ibiza.
Yeah, in Ibiza. Yeah. If you do see me on holiday, you won't. But if you do happen to have a really large pair of binoculars and see me on holiday, then please don't talk to me about rugby. Don't even come up to me and mention rugby. When we get to the last week of August, just let me know who's signed for who. And we'll be back then to do a little
more.
Oh,
you're actually talking to me.
I was talking to you and the people at home or wherever they're listening on their devices. But that's all we've got time for. Thanks for listening. Like we said, this is the final episode of Rugby Tonight for the season. Thanks for joining us. Leave us a 5-star review, the usual bump. Please stay subscribed because we will be back next year, late August, for another great Gallagher Premiership rugby season.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.